Let's get here. James chapter 2. We're going to pick back up here, verse 14. We kind of ended there last week. And it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." So we're going to start with this morning. Number one, faith and works. So how are they related? We find this, they are, you know, how are they related? How are faith and works, are they reciprocal, right? Meaning, does works produce faith and faith produce works? Is it kind of one produces the other? Well, not exactly. You know, I don't think we would say works produce faith. When I say I don't think, we don't say that. You know, we don't believe that's the case, that if I do this long enough, if I do these things long enough, it'll eventually turn into faith. You know, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way to say, I'm just going to, if I sit in the garage long enough, I'm going to become a car. Right? Y'all ever heard that illustration? Just because you're sitting in the garage doesn't mean you're a car. Right? Just because I'm in the place doing the things at church doesn't mean it's going to turn into faith. Okay? So it's not reciprocal. So then are they both required for salvation? Let's look at that for a moment, just for a second here. We, you know, in the sense thinking of this way, we must have both faith and works for salvation to take place. Again, not exactly. That's not the case. So then here's the question. Are works required for salvation? See, we are a people. We are a Bible-believing people that do not believe that salvation comes by works. Amen? We don't believe that salvation is something that I work towards. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to stack enough things up there, and I can present that to God and say, look what I've done. Right? No, that's not how salvation works. But we find here in the Scripture this place of faith and works. And so here's what we have to do, and I want us to deal with it in this way. When we are going to tell somebody, no, that's not how it works. Well, that's not what that means. When the Bible says something like, well, that's not what it means. Well, what does it mean? Well, it doesn't mean that. That's not good enough. Right? That's not good. And well, that's not what it means. It means something else. and we can sometimes, we can sometimes know what we believe because somebody told it to us. You understand? And they've taught us something. We're like, yeah, okay, that's right. And I don't remember or completely understand all they said, but they said it really convincingly. Some will believe it. And so now I've got, and then somebody asks me, say, no, and they'll show me something in the Bible and say, what about this and this? I said, well, no, that's not true because this other thing I believe is true. Right? You ever been guilty of that? I have. I've been guilty of that. Like, no, and then sitting there thinking about it, and then they say, but what about it says here? I can remember a time a guy got me a corner, this fellow was coming to our church and said, no, we, and all of a sudden I said something, and he backed me in the corner and showed me this verse, proving what he was saying was true and what I'd always believed was false. I looked at it and thought, I'm wrong on this thing. Like, everything I've ever believed was wrong. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man. And this was dealing with the pre-tribulational rapture. I'm thinking, oh, man. And I thought, wait a minute. No, wait. I had to stop because that verse was, and I thought, wait a minute. I know all these other passages that the Lord says to look for His coming, and He's going to come before. And I thought, no, wait, something must be amiss here. And I looked at that verse a little bit more and I thought, wait a minute, this is something else, right? And so, listen, we have to do more than just grab what we've had and say, it's right because it's right. We want to look into the Bible a little bit and be able to convince. So we find this place here that kind of, it can seem like it can contradict a little bit what we think about works and what we say about works and what we believe the Bible teaches about that it's not a works. But here we find these things together. So we have to do more than says, well, it's just not that. We've got to look into this a little bit. So are works required for salvation? We like to just give a quick, immediate answer of no. But that's not good enough. We have to explain how the Bible makes these comments about works. What's going on here? Just saying no, that doesn't mean this. It means the other things. It's not good Bible exegesis. All right, that's a fancy word. I like to use fancy words so y'all know I went to Bible college. Right? It really just means this. It means it's not good explanation or interpretation of the scriptures. Just say no. That's not what it is, because I believe something else. That's not good enough. We've got to go a little bit deeper than that. We have to be able to give an answer from the scriptures other than, no, it doesn't mean that. So I want us to look into this. So then, what do faith and works have to do with each other? They're used quite a bit together in this passage. He's talking about one to the other. So then, notice then the challenge that's given here. Okay, there's a challenge. Verse 18. So here's the challenge. He said, so, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. And so there's a challenge given here. We have an invitation to demonstrate. That's what it is. There's an invitation here. Gives an invitation. He said, "Okay, all right. A man says they have faith, and I will show me thy faith without thy works." So, how do you demonstrate faith? How do you show faith? Well, is it purely by saying you have it? See, this is what James is getting into. Sometimes there's the other stuff that we want to pull in. So, well, it can't be that. So let's just step away from this because it's uncomfortable, right? No, let's look at what the question he's dealing with is somebody that just says they have faith. Is purely saying you have faith? Is that how you show you have faith? Is faith in words alone a genuine faith? And that's what James is dealing with here. Or maybe it could be said this way. If I only say I have faith and do not have any works, is it true faith? That's the question. I think that's the question that's trying to be asked of us here. You say you have faith, but there's nothing else in your life that demonstrates that. Is it really faith? You know, I don't know if you've dealt with people or worked with people that said, you know, you begin to talk to them about their salvation. You begin to deal with this and ask them. They say, you know, I have faith. It's just between me and God. I don't have to show you. I don't have to tell you. It's just between me and God. It's really kind of a cop-out, right? Yeah, it's a cop-out. It just says, you know what, it's personal. It's between, I don't have to show you. I don't have to tell you. Or their other side goes like this. So how can anybody know they're going to heaven? We don't get to know that. We you know, I'm trying my best. You're trying your best. Man, that's a miserable way to live. Whew. I don't want to go to bed each night thinking, man, Lord, I hope I'm on the inside, not the outside. Imagine if you could just, this is the thing about people that think you can lose it and get back, and lose it and get back. Where am I? I don't know. Right? Wow. What a challenging thing. So the question is this. So can a faith that has no works save us? That's what's asked in verse 14. Look there again in verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, here's the question. Can faith save him? And what he's talking about, it doesn't mean can faith, but can that kind of faith, the kind of faith that says they have faith, but there's nothing in their life to demonstrate that, right? Can that kind of faith, the question is, can a faith that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but they live like the devil, right? They live like the world. They live like the old man. They live like they don't know Christ. Can that faith save him by just saying that you had faith? Well, he answers that in verse 17. He answers it. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. That's dead. It's listen. So then here it is from the Scriptures itself. A workless faith will not save. So, what we want to be careful of, and the reason I'm saying this is because I've found myself in these kind of circles. You're thinking, I believe something, but man, the Bible kind of just, it's tough, you know? And this kind of, and so we have to then say, well, what is the, okay, let me, okay, all the body of truth that I have over here, if it's based on Scripture, then that's still true. So this isn't going to contradict that, right? The Bible doesn't contradict. It doesn't say one thing over here and say something else over here. So we need to kind of dig in and make, first we need to make sure, is where I'm standing based on what the Word of God has to say? Or is it based on what I just have in my mind as what's true? So we dig this out a little bit. And then we got to see here, this isn't just a simple thing of just, yeah, it's this or that. He's dealing with something that goes on in our heart. It deals with this thing, the context of what's going on here. And here's what this letter of James is all about. This James is writing to a people, and here's what he's getting to. It takes us to number two. Words are not enough. Words are not enough. Salvation is not triggered, right? How is it too humid out here? Anyway, it wasn't a good snap. So, that noise. Salvation is not triggered by a statement we make. You see? You cannot say the correct phrase or a specific prayer that brings salvation. Like we say this right combination of prayer, you know, I mean, we say this certain phrase, if we say it in this order, boom, salvation comes. Right? Wouldn't that be good? Like we could trick people into saying it. Hey, listen, just repeat after me. You say this, I say this. Hey, you said all the right words, you're saved. Do we believe that? No. Listen, we can't do it. No one else can do that either. There's not. We don't teach folks about what to say. Right? Hey, I want to teach, if you just say this, salvation comes. We don't believe that. We don't. That's not what we... salvation isn't found in saying something. Right? You with me now? Words are not enough. Now, keep your place here, and let's turn over to the book of Romans. We're going to turn over to the book of Romans in chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness, which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But, verse 6, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? Okay? So here's the thing, this righteousness, as he said, but the righteousness which is of faith, what does it say? The righteousness, what does it say? And that's the question that he's asking us. What does the righteousness of faith say? Verse 9. Here's what it says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. What does it say there? Thou shalt be saved. I like those kind of statements. Thou shalt be. Not like, before in James it's a question, will this save you? And over here he's saying, thou shalt be saved. I like those things where we kind of look at, is it? It is. Right? He's given a question. By the way, a question in the Bible isn't God trying to figure something out. God's sitting there thinking, I wonder what, if there's a question in the Word of God, the question is meant to cause us to ask the question of ourselves, right? So he gets this thing, and so there's two things described here in verse 9. Believing and confessing. Believing is an inward thing, right? Listen, it's not something that can be seen by any other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. But when I believe, it's when you believe. You know, we say this: if you believe that, right, then you're saved, right? That's what we say. If you really meant that in your heart, right? If somebody else said, "Well, I think I did," all right. Well, that's what believing means. You know, is there a perfect believing? I don't even know what that means. When I got saved, I hardly knew what salvation meant. I knew a little bit. I knew enough to be saved. Right? And as I come down the road, man, that made so much more sense. And I thought, whoa, okay. There was. And if somebody said, if you really, really, really believed, I'm like, I don't know. I believe with, I believe, but help me thou mine unbelief. I mean, listen, I believe with, so that's, but that's in here. I mean, that's in here. That happened in my heart and between God and I and what I believe. But confession, now that's different. Confession is made for the sake of man, right? We confess Christ before men, right? It becomes a different, that becomes an outward proclamation, watch this, of what took place inwardly. Verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So listen, let me say that again. Verse 10. The beginning. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It must be clearly understood. Salvation, the righteousness of Christ coming upon man, is the result of believing. Right? It's the result of believing. Confession, watch this, get this word. Confession is the product of faith. Right? It's the product of faith. It's what faith produces. Because I believed, now I confessed it. So it's not the other way around. Confessing doesn't produce faith, right? One produces the other. I can confess because I believe. I don't believe because I say I believe. You know, this is CNN and MSNBC. If I say it enough times, people will believe it. Now, that may happen in society, right? But that's not the way God talks about here. If I just say it enough, I believe it. No, folks, it's not. It's a belief in my heart that God has done what He said He's done here. I confess because I've believed. So, is there ever a situation in the Bible where someone would say they believe but not confess? Well, there is, happens to be. That's our third point. Saying you have faith, but there's no demonstration. Look over in John. John in chapter 12. John in chapter 12. Is this fun? Y'all like digging into the Word of God a little bit? And just kind of seeing what He's talking about. So sometimes we have to, you know, as I mentioned this before, when you see something where God has, the Word of God is saying something, there's often this understanding that you already have some of this knowledge, right? So that's why the Bible is a book. It's not an individual thing. It's together. So we find here John chapter 12, verse 42. We find this thing, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Hey, listen, this isn't new. This isn't new. I have seen people through my ministry, they would come and they'd get saved. They'd come in front of the church, make a profession of faith, and they would go and hear, and then I'd say, hey, and I can remember this certain, I said, tell somebody in your family, let them know. You know, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your kids, tell whoever. And they're like, yeah, I will do that. So then I see him again the next Sunday. I said, so did you? Well, not yet. Usually it's when their family belongs to another church, denomination, or another religion. And they're like, yeah, I will. And then, you know what happens is they never do. And they go away. They go away and follow us no more, right, is the case. Because something happens at times that this is the easy place to confess Christ. Amen? I mean, everybody here, somebody comes up and says, you know, I got saved. And people are like, oh, man, I knew that guy was going to get saved. You know, kind of like Jonah, right? He's like, oh, I knew God was going to save the Ninevites. I knew it. That's why I didn't want to go there. So this is the place that somebody confessed Christ. Folks, everybody here, woo, amen. We're excited about that. Out there in the world, any of your friends, family, you know, whatever, they're not so excited. So what's that mean? So how's our relationship going to change? And how's this? And all of a sudden it's like, how is what happened to you going to affect me? it's what happens. And so that kind of sounds like what was going on here, wasn't it? They had believed, but they didn't want to confess because they knew if they confessed Christ, they would be kicked out of the synagogue. And this was how they... Could you imagine in a society to where what you would do to pressure folks is say, if you do that around here, you're getting out of the church. You're not going to be welcome back here again. Now, in our day, it'd be fine. I'll go down the road. Well, there wasn't no down the road. And the synagogue wasn't just where they went to worship the Lord. It's where life took place. Interactions, everything. So to be kicked out of the synagogue means I can't even get forgiveness of sin. I mean, it was a big deal, right? And the pressure that would become upon them of that type of thing. So, but this isn't new, what I'm saying. This what happens to us today, what we see today, it's been happening from the beginning. Folks have been making professions from the very beginning. The demonstration of that faith, though, is where the rubber meets the road. That's really where it is. Notice the Lord's response to this, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receive not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Listen, he's saying here that to not confess him as what just took the place there with those Pharisees there, the chief rulers but it was because of the Pharisees they didn't. He said, those that would believe but not confess are like those, he's likening them to rejecting him. They were more afraid of men than they were of God. They made a decision, you see. When a man rejects, listen, let me get before that. Jesus isn't going to be the judge, he said. He said, the word he spake will. Jesus, he is the judge. Of course, the Bible says that. But here's what Jesus is saying. Listen, it's not me as an individual that's going to say, well, you know, you did it well. Well, you did this. We did. No, he said, the word which I've spoke. It's the truth that's the judge. Don't you like that? It's not arbitrary. It's not one person gets judged this one, another one gets that way, and I'll give you a little break. And this, No. He said, listen, it's the Word. It's the Word, the truth that's going to be our judge. He's like, here, I'm going to give it to you. What you do with it, that's true. I find that to be wonderful. We know what to expect from God. When man rejects the Word of God, he is, in fact, judging himself that very moment when he receives the Word of God comes and he rejects it. We become our own judge. God says, here's the truth. And we say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, you become your... This is what Jesus is saying. When somebody says this, we kind of go down that road. And this thing that said, you know, I'm going to make a decision. And what chief rulers made the decision. Yes, I'm going to believe this. Maybe they did believe in some sense of some of the things going on there. And wow, this is amazing. And listen, I like the idea. And Jesus, I see that he did some miracles. And there's still something really great about this thing. But not to the point that I'm going to let it change my life. In other words, it says this, I'm not going to switch teams. I'm still Team Pharisee. That's what they said. Now, what I said, but it wasn't enough to convince them to change, to follow Jesus Christ and follow the way and take the consequences with that of being rejected and ejected. Jesus, we see that, we're not going to go into all that. We see the story of those that followed Jesus. They followed him and he got to some tough stuff. Said, I'm going to die, and he raised again. And it said they left and followed him no more. Remember the story? He says to his disciples, to his apostles, will you leave me also? Remember what they said? On whom should we go? Right? And who your words are the way of life, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He said, where else are we going to go? That's what faith produces. Right? Confession. So, number four, faith has a product. Let's go back to James. James in chapter 2, back there. Faith has a product. Verse 18 again. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Really, it's this. You cannot demonstrate faith without outward works. You can't demonstrate it. Okay. Can you have faith and not demonstrate it? So that may be the thing. So, well, maybe I have faith. I just don't, you know, I'm private about it. Maybe, because that could be maybe the thing that we would say, well, you know, a person can have faith and just, you know, maybe they're just an undercover Christian. The Christian FBI, right? I'm a Christian CIA. I'm a spy for Jesus, right? We see that ministry, spying for Jesus, right? You know, most of the spies in the Old Testament didn't work out too well, right? Listen, here's what James is dealing with, this whole epistle, what the Lord is trying to give us here. Listen, faith, by the way, isn't meant to be hid under a bushel, under a basket. We're not to hide that thing. But instead he said, let your light so shine, right? So shine that everybody can see how awesome you are. No. So you might glorify my Father, and they'll see your good and glorify my Father which is in heaven. It's almost like this concept has been going throughout the Bible, isn't it? Right? This thing that faith has a product. And so, listen, faith is meant to be demonstrated. Salvation through a personal transaction with God is not ever meant to be a private matter. Never has God ever intended salvation to be a private matter. Matter of fact, if it was going to be private, we'd be done. As soon as we got saved, we would be gone, man, flying away into heaven. God, another one's come up, right? But instead, His purpose is for us to stay and be a living sacrifice. We talked about that last week. So thus we find then this immediate confession, along with the public confession of baptism. You know, so when we publicly confess it, it's one thing. But what we find, and this is where we find it so often in the New Testament, is they were saved and baptized. See, it's a way to publicly confess what has happened here. And so we constantly doing this thing, and we find it. So believing that there is a God, watch this. This is what I'm going to say. Sometimes I can say something quick, you're like, yeah, okay. But this believing that there is a God is absolutely not enough. Look at verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wow. So, as a matter of fact, believing that there is one God rates no higher than what the devils, the fallen angels, those that are not enemies, those that are the enemies of God. So claiming to believe in God puts you no higher than the level that God's enemies are at. Man, when we kind of think of it like that, it doesn't sound quite as impressive as it did before. Well, I believe in God. I believe there's a God. I believe in God. Yeah, so does God's enemies. So you're right on par with them. James, I'll tell you, I kind of like this. I kind of like this direct stuff to us. You know, it's a little bit, man, well, you should be nicer. You know, but sometimes, listen, you know, sometimes we soak that in for a moment to God when we say this. This thought is again, emphasizing this truth. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Man, it's like he's beating this dead horse. I mean, just like, you get it? You get it? You get it? And then, inevitably, there was somebody that comes out and say, yeah, but I can have faith that works. Somebody walk out here and that. Somebody said today, I mean, there could be a church service just like this, I'm saying, and somebody, yeah, I think you can have faith without works. You're like, isn't it funny how we can do that? We can hear it and hear it and hear it. Yeah, but that really doesn't apply to me. It's for other people and other circumstances. It's a really strange thing. This is a very interesting exchange. He began with in chapter 2 and verse 1, and he says, my brethren, right? Again, in verse 5, he calls them, hearken, my beloved brethren, right? Verse 14, again, he said, what other prophet? My brethren. But now, in verse 20, he's addressing them as vain man. All right? I mean, can you kind of see, I'm trying to, I don't know, I almost envision, I mean, this is a letter written, but I'm almost envisioning speaking to people and just like thinking, get this, right? Man, quick, get this. Evidently, there was an issue of that day, the same as we have today. Calling those out that had false faith is so direct in the Scriptures. So direct. It's as if it's just laid out there and said, listen, this is a problem. It's a problem and don't deal with it. You know, it's not unkind, but direct. So I think we need to have both of those things together. Folks, listen to what I'm saying right here. We ought to be direct without being unkind. You say, it's a thin line. I'm not sure how to, you know, learn it. Learn how to be direct. I want to just say this. The line is this. If I care about their soul, I'm going to be direct enough to help them to see something, but also compassionate enough that I want to win them. But if I care more about me than I care about them, if I care more about me being right, then I'm not going to be the kind part, right? So direct, and sometimes direct is tough. People don't like us to be indirect. Well, I just don't want to talk about religion. I know you don't. I know you don't. But I do. And I don't want you to go to hell. But by the way, I don't want you to just continue living in your sin. You know, that's not arrogant. Don't be arrogant. Well, I'm saved. You ought to be. You know, no. Don't be like me. Be like him is the thing. Know this, though. But know this. As a truth not to meddle with, faith that doesn't have works, rather this evidences of your own life changing relationship with the Savior. Listen, a faith that doesn't have life-changing evidences that you've met the Savior and that He's your Lord, it's not a saving faith. It's dead. This is what James is saying. Say, who's that? You know, is that me? I mean, I used to do things for the Lord, but maybe this. I don't think the Bible ever tries to talk us out of our salvation. I don't think that's the purpose. You know, I thought I was saved. Now I'm not sure. You know, I'm the kind of person, and there's some, I've never, from the moment I got saved, I never doubted my salvation. I've never thought, man, I wonder, did I get enough? And I thought, Lord, if this is true, I believe it all. I mean, and I've always struggled with people that said, you know, I think I'm saved. I'm not sure. I'm not. And I thought, man, I'll be quite honest. I don't get the mindset about that. Be honest. I'm just telling you, from me to you, when somebody says, I'm not sure if I'm saved, and I don't, and I know there's some people that struggle with that. And, you know, I'm not sure. I've made, you know, two or three professions. I've been baptized 8 times. I've just done this. You know, I know people have done this. You know, I get saved every morning. I've heard people. I say the prayer of faith every morning. I'm thinking, wow, you're missing it. You know, this isn't meant to talk people out of listen, if you can be talked out of it, it's not much of a faith, is it? Right? I said this last week. We're about done here. I said this last week, but I want to end with it again this week. Let's not settle with the statement at least they go to church somewhere. Let's not settle with that. If you're glad where they're going to church, say, you know, hey, listen, it's not as great as our church, because, you know, we ought to think our church is great. Amen? Not because we're here, but because He's here. And this is the place God's going to use me. I'm excited about that. But if there's somewhere else that said, listen, they're hearing the truth there, I'm glad they're there, then let's just be glad. I've heard people say stuff like this. Well, you know, I think people of this denomination or that denomination or whatever, you know, I think people can be saved over there even though they're still there. I personally... the Bible says, you know, when there's a truth, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. When there's an error, to sit there listening to error and false truth every Sunday, I'm telling you, my spirit wouldn't witness with that spirit. I mean, I'm saying the Spirit of God that's in me would not say, yeah, that's okay. I think something's wrong there. I think we need to get over just saying, I think the problem in our generation is we want everybody to be saved. And we want, if somebody just says they have faith, we're like, good, you're going to be in heaven with me. And we're just kind of happy with that. But the fact is, folks, there's people all over. But doesn't mean I'm trying to go rip everybody out of the church. I'm just saying, let's not be satisfied with that answer. Why would you listen? You know, somebody said, well, I know this is wrong and I know this is wrong, but I just enjoy the fellowship. So did the chief rulers. They enjoyed the fellowship too. Let's not settle with an only saying I have faith kind of faith, but one that lives it out. Listen, we're going to live it out differently. Don't get too much into that works part. We're going to live it out differently. Father, I pray that you would help us, Lord, help us to learn and know and understand this truth that you've given here through the book of James. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts that would help us be what you want us to be, that we might reach the world around us. Lord, I pray if there's any here this morning that, Lord, this truth struck a nerve and maybe in their heart. Lord, pray that you do a work in their life as well. Lord, pray that you have your will and way and the service to follow. And we'll give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name.